Have you really looked at any of these Danish newspaper cartoons that are provoking all the protests around the world, the boycotts, the withdrawals of ambassadors, the burnings of Danish embassies, the death threats?
Hundreds of Muslims chant "Death to Denmark," outraged by the caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad in a Danish newspaper.
You probably haven't, because as far as I know, only one U.S. newspaper and one TV news division have dared to show them. They all say they don't want to offend Muslims, that they can report the story just fine with descriptions. Maybe. I appreciate the reluctance to fan the flames. But the thing is, only by seeing the cartoons, and of course you can find them easily online, only by seeing them can you realize how unremarkable they look to our eyes, how downright innocuous almost all of them are. Of the dozen cartoons, three are benign representations of Muhammad, two others don't even depict him, and three more don't satirize Islam at all, but mock the newspaper's stunt of commissioning the cartoons. Now, one basic problem is that Islamic visual tradition discourages or prohibits any depiction of Muhammad at all. But only two or three of the 12 Danish cartoons seem, to me, actually scurrilous. I don't want to overreact to this Muslim overreaction. Maybe if the non-Islamic world now steers clear of violating that taboo, it won't be a catastrophic blight on free expression. Maybe that's part of learning to live in the modern world, the etiquette of globalization. But still, I find the idea of now trimming our free speech sails disturbing. To try to get a better fix on what all of this is about, I've put in a call to Azar Nafisi, the author of Reading Lolita in Tehran. Azar, it's nice to talk with you again.
It's just good talking to you, too.
So, as I saw all this play out in the last week, I was left perplexed and depressed, really, about the gulf this seems to illustrate between Islam and at least my vision of the West. What is your take on all this?
Oh, well, I share with you especially the depression that you mentioned you felt. You know, one of the problems, I think, is not so much between Islam and the West, but the rift between the extremist representatives of that religion and the rest of the world. And what worries me is also the voices of those people in Muslim countries that is being suppressed by all this violence, you know, because it doesn't allow them to speak up or to defend their religion in a proper manner.
It was interesting. I noticed among the consequences of this is there was an editor, at least one, maybe two editors in Jordan who had reprinted the cartoons trying to create a discussion of what this was all about. And one was promptly fired and arrested.
Why would the government in Jordan arrest a journalist who is supporting freedom? Unless these governments themselves are, and the government in Jordan is one of the more moderate governments, I have no doubt that the government in Syria has been provoking vigilantes and people to come into the streets. And having lived in Iran, I know that a lot of ordinary people are very scared and they stay at home.
Right.
You know, so it is one thing to be offended. It is another thing to use violence to intimidate the world. We should have taken that lesson when Salman Rushdie was attacked.
Well, and Salman Rushdie was, of course, attacked and a death sentence issued on his
death
life.
Sentence, and not only was he attacked in that way, his translators were murdered.
Yes, indeed.
But when he wrote his last book, Shalimar the Clown, in that book, rather than using the method of those people who were trying to literally kill him, he used a different method, and I think that was the way he defeated them, and that was by trying to understand the mind of a terrorist.
Uh-huh. So rather than coming directly in your face, meaning to provoke, you go around by indirection in the way that art can.
So you go to could you refuse to choose to be in their domain?
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you are in the domain of people who kill, who murder, who try to merely offend, you have to speak their language. The only way you cut this circle of violence is to stand out of it, and to rise above it, and to show how it works. So I think that Rushdie's attempt to understand the mind of a terrorist is the way to respond rather than the other way.
Rather than waving a red flag and making them behave more like
you know,
that.
What we have done today is we have polarized and reduced all areas to politics. The only way we can retain a democracy is not just to give individuals freedom of expression, but to give different areas within our society the freedom to exist independent of politics. Great novels should be written no matter what offense they give to others. Cartoons should be published no matter how politicians or religious elite react to it. That is the irony, and humor is the essence of art and literature. You can't take that away from it.
Azar Nafisi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Azar Nafisi is the author of Reading Lolita in Tehran and a professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. I'm Kurt Anderson. You've been listening to Studio 360, and I do hope you'll join us again for next week's show.